Let's open our Bibles, if you would, please. We're looking at a very familiar scripture in the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. We'll look there for a few minutes tonight. Mark, chapter number 5. Let's look, if you would, down in verse number 21. We'll start reading in verse 21. And the Bible says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly." Note that statement. "He besought him greatly, saying, My daughter lieth at the point of death." I believe that statement, "lieth at the point of death," gives meaning to what was stated at verse 23, the first part of the verse, "and he besought him greatly." He besought him greatly because he had a great need. He had something pressing upon him. If I could use a word that will reoccur in the message tonight, he had something very urgent. Had something very urgent at hand. And he prayed accordingly. "My daughter lieth at the point of death, I pray thee." So we know he's praying. We have in this passage a classic illustration of prayer. If you want to study something about prayer, an effective prayer at that, right here's your classic example. He's praying. Praying is asking. Praying is going to God with a need. And not that Jesus don't know what the need is, but you pray about it anyway. He said, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." You don't see any general praying there either, do you? "Well, Lord, you know, whatever you want to do is fine." No, he specified what the need was, and not only that, he told what he desired for the Lord to do. And we know, as we read, Jesus did that very thing. This next statement, verse 24, I got it underlined. "And Jesus went with him." Matthew's account said, "And Jesus followed him." I wonder how many Jesus could follow. I wonder if he could follow our prayers and get anywhere. "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." And of course, in route, the woman with the issue of blood occurred in the story. And let's skip down as we find in verse number 35. While he yet spake, there come from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead." Can you imagine what he felt as a father, knowing the urgency of the time, made the move necessary, went to the one that needed to be gone to. And here he says, he gets a report, "Thy daughter is dead. And why troublest thou the master any further?" Boy, the devil, he'll want to give you or get you into that give up state. Right. He'll want you to hear things like that or see things like that that will cause you to think, "Well, it's over. What's the use now? I have no need to pray. What's done is done." But don't you forget, our God is the God of reversal. Amen. Oh, I'm sure Mary and Martha thought it was over too. I mean, big time over. He had been, Lazarus, their brother, was in the grave 4 days. And even they said, behold, he stinketh. And Jesus said, in essence, where's the tomb? Where's the grave? Roll the stone away. I can still work. Amen. It may look hopeless. That's not what I'm preaching on, but it may look hopeless to you concerning a matter. But as long as we have a living Lord, it's not hopeless and it's not over and it's not too late. Amen. Pray. Amen. Just keep praying. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Pray. Just keep praying. Devil wants every child of God to quit praying. Well, oh mercy. Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the master any further? In other words, no need for you to pray about this. It's done past. It's done past any help or any hope. And as soon, verse 36, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Isn't that amazing how quick Jesus, Jairus never even said nothing. There's not one word in verse 35 that Jairus spoke. Oh, this is good. I just seen this, Brother Ivan. Not one word did Jairus see or say in verse 35. But yet Jesus addresses him. Jesus addresses the situation. Jesus knew that fear was getting in his heart and probably seen his faith begin to waver as he heard that awful statement, thy daughter is dead. But Jesus moved quickly in and said, oh, just believe. Amen. Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead. Now who are you going to believe? You going to believe the earthly report? Or are you going to believe Jesus? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was laid. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, if I said that right, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. And commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we pray that you will help us here this evening to say some things that would charge us and challenge us and stir us, Lord, for your glory. Lord, I cannot ask you to help me tonight because I deserve it, but I sure can ask you because I need it. I need that special unction, that special anointing, God, that'll give a challenge to our spirit. Lord, I realize without the touch of God that these people that are awaiting thy word will only hear the voice of a man. And Lord, at best, I could only speak into the physical ears. But Lord, unless we hear in our spirit what the Spirit would say to us, then Lord, this service will be all but null and void. Pray, God, you'll help me now. Bring to my attention things we need to see and say, and we'll give you praise and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was reading in Dr. John R. Rice's book on prayer, Asking and Receiving. And he gave multiple illustrations. If you've never read that book, it'd do you well to get it. It's full of, it's just saturated with prayer. It's a whole book on prayer, Asking and Receiving. He preached a lot and taught a lot on that very subject. And he gave these couple of illustrations that seemed to go along with the burden of my heart. We find one of the illustrations he gave was a lady came to him after one of the services and said to him that I'd been praying for my husband for 23 years to be saved, but still he is not saved. Now get that in our mind. Here's a lady praying for her husband 23 years and he's not saved yet. But she didn't leave it at that. She went on to say, but I'm asking God to save him before he dies. Now, how many people you know's prayed similar prayers? Lord, save them sometime, somewhere, somehow, before it's too late or before they die. And Dr. Rice, hearing her statement, made this reply, if you don't come to mean business and get to praying in earnest, your husband is likely to go to hell. Now you say, preacher, that was pretty harsh. That was a pretty stern response. Here's a lady saying, I'm praying for my husband 23 years now that he'll be saved sometime before he dies. Well, Dr. Rice, man of discernment, picked up on the lack of heart and the lack of burden, or our word tonight, a lack of urgency, and prayed with such a casualness about it. And he told her, if you don't get down to business about this matter of prayer, about your husband and mean business over it, your husband is likely to go to hell. And he went on with that illustration and said to her, if it is a sin for a lost man to go on in his sin without concern, expecting to be saved sometime before he dies. And would we all agree that that would be sin? Would we not all agree that that would be wrong for a man that we're praying for, a woman, a boy, or a girl that we're praying for to be saved, if they go on in their sin with unconcern, thinking one day I'll get saved, then would it not also be sin for his wife to be content for him to go on in his sin and be saved sometime before he dies? What he brought about in that illustration was, ma'am, you don't have no urgency about your request. You're not praying with any pressure. You're not praying with any urgency. That's been on my heart all week about we need, and there's a lot of components, I think, into effective prayer, praying. There's a lot of elements, you know, that work together to bring about effective praying, no doubt about that. But I believe that our church, and I know I confess to myself, that urgency is really missing in my praying. If we're not careful even about these little kids that request prayer for themselves, and not just them, but the several other kids that are of our church that are lost. I mean, they've never been saved. If we're not careful, we'll have a casual approach about that as we pray for them. Lord, save them. Save them sometime. Lord, save them somewhere. Lord, save them somehow. But what's wrong with getting down to putting some pressure on the situation? Lord, we want them saved now. We want them saved right away. Another illustration that he gave, and he gave a lot of requests, a lot of illustrations. And this one stuck out to me as he talked about a Christian mother that came to him after a service one night and told him, Dr. Rice, my son is 16 years old and he is not saved. But I'm sure that he will be saved some of these days. And when Dr. Rice urged her to bring that 16-year-old man to the young man to the revival services to try to win him to God, make sure that he is saved, she said she wasn't worried about him. He was such a good boy, and she knew that she could win him someday. Lord help us. A few nights later, the little boy, the 16-year-old boy that she had said that about, had gotten bitten with a black widow spider. And we know how deadly that is, or can be, and several had been killed in that area by that very same thing. She took the boy after he was bit, and she took him and drove him to the doctor in a hurry. And after he was treated and they said that he was okay, immediately now she calls the preacher. She calls Dr. Rice at 11 o'clock at night. You say, preacher, that's inconvenient. Not when urgency is on the case. Inconvenience, getting in somebody's plans, that don't matter when something's urgent. See, this mama had not been urgent about her son. Well, he's a good boy and I'm praying for him, but I'll win him to God someday. And all of a sudden it was made known to her that I could lose my son today. I want to win him someday, but this tragedy right here could have been fatal, and it wouldn't have been someday, because that someday would have never come. He would have died today. And she called Dr. Rice at 11 o'clock at night and told him the situation and told him she was on the way. And she drove across town in a hurry to the preacher's house where he was staying. And she said to the preacher, weeping, she said, I quote, I will never sleep again till I know my son is saved. Amen. Went from that casual, he's all right, I'm praying for him, I'll win him someday, until she was made aware of that someday may never come. And she acted with urgency. And the story goes on that the boy got saved that night. The boy got saved when urgency came into the picture. I'm afraid that we're missing that element in our praying. The point I'm trying to make of those two illustrations is that a lot of our praying that we're doing is lacking a sense of urgency. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you think there's anybody in hell that was prayed for here on earth? I think that's a given. No doubt, friend, that hell is filled with people whose names came across praying lips on this earth. Just our praying and calling their name out to God is not what it takes to keep them from the flames of hell. Amen. And I believe this. I believe this strongly. Nobody gets saved unless it's an answer to prayer. Somebody's going to be praying for you. Amen. I believe you've got to be in contact with, confronted with the gospel. Nobody gets saved apart from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I believe somebody's going to pray for you. Amen. You've got to have some kind of a Christian contact, some kind of a Christian influence in your life. Are we such a contact? Are we such a person? No doubt I'm a product of somebody praying. I appreciate the request tonight for the van kids, because a lot of them probably don't have too many people on their family side that's praying for them. Amen. RBT, we need to pray for them. Amen. Amen. That's right. God help us. to get under a burden about that matter and pray earnestly. Because listen, and we've seen it. Miss Shelley can testify the fact that some of them come and go. They may live in a trailer park this week, this month, next month, for 3 months, 6 months, and then all of a sudden they're moving to Lord knows where. Amen? We need to look at that with urgency. God, while they're here, do something. I can't save them, but I can pray for them. And as we see in this text, a man got urgent about a matter. Woo! Jairus got urgent about a matter in his home. Because, oh my soul, what a point just come into my mind. This little girl was dying at her own house. Here's a girl that's leaving this wall, my friend, not on a bar stool and not out in the jib joint, but on from her own house. Jairus, her father, got urgent about the matter. How many men in this building, including me, we had a child that was laying at the house, and we know they just had moments to live, or maybe a short period of time. How many of us would leave their side? Jairus, if he'd have been like me, he'd have probably stayed there and held her hand till it went cold. Probably stayed there and whispered, amen, just nice and wonderful things, consoling things. But oh, Jairus wasn't interested in comforting her. Jairus wasn't interested in consoling her. Jairus wasn't interested in just making sure she leaves out of this world okay, or with some peace. Jairus seen an urgency got into the picture. Not that alone, as I mentioned earlier, our praying effectively is made up of several components. Amen. And I believe we've dealt with some already, but we're dealing with another one tonight. We need to get urgent. I'm going to ask you, don't answer it out loud. Answer it in your heart. What are you praying about that you're praying about urgently? What am I praying about, Brother Ivan? What am I praying about, Brother Carol, that I sense, oh God, not someday, not somewhere, not somehow, but now, soon? Lacking urgency. Well, the devil don't want us to get this. The devil don't want us to get into that gear. Amen. Hey, Jairus, where are you going? I've got to go and get God. That's what praying is. Praying is somebody, amen, going and getting God and saying, if I can just get God on the situation, if I can include and involve God in the situation, it'll be different. And that's what prayer does. Prayer includes God. But that is not even the point I'm trying to labor on tonight. It's not just going and getting God, but it's the fact that he went in a hurry. He knew that that time was of the essence. Time was of the essence. How many are we praying for that we're not praying for urgently? Oh, mercy, Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. I mean, you look through the Gospels. You look through the Gospels and see the people that got some response from Christ when they got urgent with the need. Amen. What about the leper? In Mark chapter 1 and verse 4, he came running and kneeling down to the Lord. Running, kneeling down to him and said to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and said, I will, be thou clean. He ran. He was running. He didn't have this casual, well, I'll just, you know, somewhere, someday I might be able to get snow. It become an urgent matter. become an urgent matter. And there's a lot of things that could be pointed out about that. But as I look at Jairus, and there's a lot, I mean, I want you to study this out for yourself and take some personal notes about this thing. But I just jotted down two or three little things that just spoke to my heart about this thing of urgency. Urgency. And I want God to speak to me about this, because I feel like that this is one of the reasons, Brother Mike, that we're not getting our prayers answered. And I wrote this down. First of all, we're not urgent in our praying because we don't realize what really is at stake. When we're praying for somebody to be saved, do we realize what is at stake? Meaning, do we realize that they're just one heartbeat away from hell? No, it's not that we should pray, oh God, save them someday. That sounds good. But there's probably a lot of people that are in hell as I speak that somebody prayed in a casual way, a heartless way, a burdenless way, God save my son or my husband or my wife or my parents someday. And that someday never came. Do we realize how close to eternity that lost people are? These kids that sits on our pew service after service, is it real to us how close to the flames of hell that they are every breath that they take? Just like John R. Rice, Dr. Rice told that lady, you better get down to business about your husband or he's likely to go to hell. If we don't get down to business of praying for sinners, particularly those that are in this church, urgently. Amen. God help us. I believe we're not urgent because we don't realize what really is at stake. You say, why did Jairus get urgent? Why was he urgent? He knew what was happening. He was at full alert, Brother Carroll, that his daughter was just moments from eternity. And what I do, I must do quickly. Don't realize what is really at stake. A second truth tonight is that we don't pray urgently because we do not realize what attachment that I have to the need. In other words, do I realize that it matters what I do or don't do? Jairus, your daughter's dying. Yeah, but I can do something. I can't raise her up myself. I don't have the power to raise her up myself. But thank God I have access to the one that can do it. We don't pray urgently. One, because we don't realize what really is at stake. We've got to see a matter serious before we get serious. We've got to see a matter of time is of the essence before that we get earnest with it. When we realize what attachment we have to the need. Jairus could have sat at the house and said, well, I wish God would do something. Huh? Jairus could have said, I wish God would do something. Or I wish, and by the way, don't forget the good statement we made, I believe it was last Wednesday, praying is not wishing. Amen? Praying is not wishing. That's not faith. Faith don't say, I wish. Amen? Faith lays hold on God. Amen? Faith is like Jairus, and he realized that not only what is at stake, and by the way, you'll not be urgent about the matter unless you realize what is at stake means something to you. It's not just that anybody in that home, Brother Ivan, anybody, Brother Brooks, could have looked at this girl, anybody could have made the assessment, she's dying. But it didn't mean nothing to many of them. But old Pops, Blake calls me, Pop steps up and he said, you know what? I not only realize what's at stake, but it's big to me. It means something to me. It matters to me whether she lives or dies. See, if it don't matter to you about a matter, you won't get urgent with it. How many people we know that's lost? And I mean, they're one heartbeat, one breath away from the flames of an eternal, unending hell. I want to tell you how many times, listen, we would never stand up and say that it don't matter to me, preacher. But when we pray, if we pray, or when we pray, it is so casual and so just so passive and sort of like this woman here. Well, someday. Amen. You know what that is? And I know it's tough. It's a hard pill to swallow. But what that is, we might as well confess it. We don't have a burden for what it is. It really don't make a big deal to us whether they live or die. I know that's hard to believe. So we don't realize, and I didn't get these out of the book. Lord, just give them to me in meditation on this. When we don't realize what's really at stake, when we don't realize that my attachment to the need, that I really can do something. Going to God in prayer urgently, believingly, specifically, is doing something. And real prayer is work. I believe that's the reason a lot of people don't pray specifically and rather choose to pray just a little generic prayer, Lord bless, is because when you start getting specific and you start praying for our church by name and then start adding sinners and start adding work associates and start adding neighbors to that list, you're going to get into some time consumption. Miss Mary, I remember what you said to me the other night. After I've been praying for our church family and been preaching that and hammering that, and we've got several in our church that are doing that. And Miss Mary come to me and she said, preacher, she said, I've been trying to pray for our church by name, individuals by name. But she said, preacher, it just wore me out. See, to pray a general prayer, you just kind of throw it up and be done with it in about a couple of minutes. But if you start praying for the preacher and the preacher's wife and Blake, and then start going down the list and start going down this side and that side and praying for this family and that family, amen, before you know it, a good bit of time is done with and gone. General praying, usually the motive behind general praying is I don't have time to pray. Woo! Amen. Anybody feel that? Most people pray just an old general prayer because they don't want to take the time to deny themselves, to get in behind the closed doors and go before God on behalf of other people. Well, we're having a time, aren't we? Let me go on and finish these up. Not only don't realize what is really at stake, we don't realize that I'm attached to the need, and the outcome may very well depend on what I do. What Jairus did represents intercession. Going in behalf of someone else and telling Jesus about it and bringing him back. Amen. A third thing, and I want to hasten on and deal with these, but boy, these last two I want us to really get to. The third thing I wrote down is that I'm afraid that we're lacking urgency in our praying because we're too content for the answer to be way on out somewhere else. Oh yeah, we want them to be saved, and I know I'm using that illustration only tonight, but that could be about anything. We need the element of urgency about any kind of praying that we do. Amen. If I don't need it now, it must not be too big. Amen. I never did go with Daddy around November, December, and, you know, and say, Dad, you know, just, you know, whatever's under the tree will be fine. No, I had a list. Hello? You did too. I had a list. And I was very specific about the list. And it wasn't something that I wanted next Christmas or Christmas after that or on down the road. Hey, Dad, this is the latest thing. This is the biggest thing. It's the right color, right size. I want it. I got to have it. Of course, I got things for Christmas I did not ask for. I mean, my dad was so, and you know that's who Santa is, but my dad loved us so much, me and my brother. I mean, my sister got off the hook. She's got amnesia or dementia or something about all of her upbringing. I remember in detail. I give her a hard time about it. But listen to this right here. My dad loved us so much. Guess what he got me and my brother one year for Christmas? No. He got us two. And I mean, we was on a pretty good size property. And all of our yard was like this. I mean, we couldn't even get goats. Goats wouldn't even eat off our hills. Daddy got us two, one apiece, same color, two cycle, push lawnmowers. And they weren't but 20 inches. I didn't ask for that, I promise you. No. I don't know why I brought that up. I guess it just came back to memory. But I'm saying a lot of times we're not urgent about a matter in prayer because we are content. Amen. Oh, yes, Lord, as long as they get saved, it don't matter if they spend 40 years of their life in sin, as long as they get saved somewhere down the road. Just like Dr. Rice said to that woman, if it's wrong for your husband to live in sin for years without concern and then thinking one day I'll get saved, then it would be wrong for us to be content for them to be that way. Right. How many people sits on these pews service after service lost? Right. And they leave lost. How many of us have been bothered by that? Right. I said us. How many of us have been bothered with that? Bobby and them sits right here on this pew. Are you listening? Leaves lost. How many of us give it a second thought? Oh, yeah, we're all, our whole church is praying for them. But are we praying urgently? From last Sunday to this coming Sunday, think of how many opportunities could come in any of their lives that could take them out. Huh? While they're sitting, Brother Silas, on these pews, we ought to think, oh, Lord, here they are. They're under the sound of the gospel. Oh, what an opportunity for them to get saved. Lord, don't let them leave lost. Don't let them leave lost, Lord. Save them today. Save them today. Save them today. Parents that's got lost kids, are you urgent about that matter? You want them to be saved, but is it going to bother you that they don't get saved till they're 14, 15, 18, 20 years old? Is that bothering you? Well, preacher, just as long as they get saved. No, that's not it. Because you don't know they're going to live to 15, 18, or 23 or whatever. You don't know, but what Jesus may be coming tonight. You don't know that. Oh, we need to get urgent about the matter. If they're sick, if one of your children gets up in the middle of the night with a fever and they're sick, do you not act urgent over that? Sure you do. And rightfully so. But every time that you kiss the brow of that baby, that little girl, that boy at night before they go to sleep, you have no guarantee that they'll wake up the next morning. Amen. I don't know. I just know the Lord's not, Lord's dealing with me about this matter. And want me to challenge us tonight. And Jairus, oh, they's preaching all in that illustration. But I believe we're not urgent because we're too content for the answer to be distant. And last, I'm done with this. Bottom line, I believe this is the truth. I believe we're not urgent in prayer because we're just lacking desire. We're just lacking desire. Amen. To sense, I wrote this down, getting ready tonight. To sense and feel urgency in my prayer is not mechanical. I want you to get that. Okay, preacher. Okay, you're preaching about being urgent in prayer. You're preaching about being urgent in prayer. How do we get urgent in prayer? I don't know. Because it's not the results of steps you take. It's not a 1-2-3 plan and all of a sudden you're urgent and you're praying. You can't say, okay, preacher, okay, I'm going to get urgent in prayer. It just don't happen that way. I think when you pray about something and the more you pray about it and the more you desire it, amen, and not just sometime, but wanting it now, wanting it soon. And I'm not talking about name it, claim it, and, you know, and demanding God and none of that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting in earnest and getting urgent about it. The woman with the issue of blood that came as what looked to be an interruption. Jairus had Jesus going back on a timely manner. And this woman comes in and interrupts what seems to be an interruption. You know what? She was acting urgently about the matter. Hey, I've got to do something. I can sit on this front porch and die with this issue. Or I can go and I can touch his hem, the hem of his garment, and I shall be made whole. And she didn't care if she was interrupting what she was interrupting. She didn't care nothing about that. All she knew was, I need help. I need it now. He can help me. And I'm not going to stop till I get to him. I think we're not urgent because we're lacking desire. God said he'd give us the desires of our heart. I wrote this down, it's convicting to me. I wrote this down. We're not urgent in prayer simply because we just don't want it bad enough. Oh, Lord, have mercy, that's convicting to my soul. We're not urgent in prayer. Some of the requests that was given tonight were big. But the question is, was it big to you? Was it big to me? If it's not big to you, you won't be earnest about it and won't be urgent about it. May our church be of such a unity. May our church be of such a fellowship and a closeness. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one weeps, we weep with them. When one rejoices, we rejoice with them. When someone says, pray for my son to be saved, it may not be your son, but you'll feel that burden. Oh, God. Don't let Junior go to hell. Oh, God. Amen. Amen. You have to agree tonight that the advancements that God has granted of grace to us has been in that. Because there have been some folk getting serious about prayer. People getting stirred up about praying. Amen. I believe if you keep your prayer life where it needs to be, you cannot backslide. You've got to get cold in the closet before you get cold in church. Amen. Amen. If you think, oh, I'm just going to go to RBT and get in on them goosebumps and hair-raising services, but I don't have to pray, guess what yours is? When you get in a service and you've not prayed, guess what you're experiencing? Emotionalism. Amen. You got to put gas in your car for it to run, for it to go. Amen. It's not just going to happen. You've got some responsibilities and some maintenance that involved in that vehicle. Amen. That's right. Oh, your spiritual life has got all kinds of nuts and bolts on it. Your spiritual life's got all kinds of gadgets and things that needs tuning up. You just throw it on the shelf and let it just kind of go with the wind. So, well, praise God, the Lord's a blessing. I'm going to tell you what the Lord does a lot of times. The Lord will bless in grace. But it is not a blessing of condonement. God will bless. God has blessed me before when I wasn't near where I need to be in my prayer life and reading the Word of God, and I'll be riding down the road or whatever, and God just get in the car with me, and if I'm not careful, I'll take that as, whoa, well, praise God, it's not too bad then. I must not be in that bad a shape. But that's not the way I'm supposed to look at it. I'm supposed to look at it as I've got a Heavenly Father that is a God of grace, and He's moving on my life. The goodness of God leading men to repentance. God is blessing me for me to get right. Sometimes we think the only time to get right is when He blisters us. Sometimes His blessings should motivate us. Urgent. Urgent prayer. A lot of things our praying is lacking. We're lacking. Our prayers are so casual and general. We're lacking specifics, heart, burden, seriousness, faith, to name only a few. But I believe urgency is one of them. If Jairus had prayed the way we pray, they'd have been planting his daughter out on the hillside. Are you listening? I'm talking about was just a casual, no sense of urgency about it. Lord, if the Lord would help us, Brother Mike, and let this truth, simple as it is, necessary that it is, would get on us, Brother Brooks, and get in our hearts to where we'd start praying with some earnest. Start praying with some expectancy, and Lord, don't just do it somewhere and somehow and sometime. If they do come to a service and they leave lost, that ought to bother you. You ought to go to God and say, God, what is it? And I know it's not your fault, God, but I'm going to turn the heat up on my praying. Evidently, I'm not praying hard enough. Evidently, I'm not praying. Amen. Something in my life that's missing in my praying, that's keeping my praying from being effective. Because if you ask, according to Scripture, if you ask and you don't receive, the problem is on your fault, on your part. So if we're asking, Brother Silas, and it's not happening, we have every right to say, Lord, what's missing? There's something missing. There's some elements missing in my praying that is rendering my praying ineffective. Devil don't care how much you pray, how long you pray, how often you pray. As long as some of those key missing elements stays out of your praying, so that your praying will remain unfruitful and unproductive. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, accomplishes much. Well, if we can get on grounds with this, I believe we're on grounds for a great move of God in our day. Let's stand to our feet.